Welcome to Founders Time Podcast, where founders shine. Have you ever thought, I have this idea and I'd love to start a business, I'm just not sure how? Then you're in the right place. Founders Time aimed to inform and empower female vetpreneurs, military, veteran, and military spouses entrepreneurs by sharing actionable steps, tips, and resources to grow your business lean and smart. Everything you would need to start, scale, and succeed. Now, your host, Niurka Castaneda.
How are you doing? So here in front of Time Podcast again, we have Bowie with us, and she has a story to tell.
Well, hi, Niurka.
Tell us about it.
Thank you for having me here. I appreciate you having a show for entrepreneurs. So I'm Bobby Malatesta. I live in upstate New York, and my journey has been totally on accident. I had for many years said, I don't want to be an entrepreneur. I want the comfort of 9 to 5 and medical benefits and all the things. And it started shifting about 4 years ago when I had quit gambling and I had made some new friends that were entrepreneurs, which kind of helped me take away some of the fear. I'd also fallen in love and thought I was going to be moving halfway across the country and was like, okay, well, I'll start looking into this. So it started with my podcast on gambling addiction, actually. In my head, I was like, oh, I'll have a podcast. I'll make tons of money from sponsors. And I will, yeah, you're laughing. I'll move over to Wisconsin and it'll be no problem. Well, boy, was I wrong about that. So my podcast just celebrated a year and I broke up with the guy. But along the way, I started creating this vision in my head. Now, I've never had children, and I am the person who sits on the plane and the screaming baby is next to them. Or if I'm walking in the mall, they're cutting across me. You know, like the kids just attracted to me, and I'm not used to that much commotion and stuff. So what I want to do is build what I'm calling recovery playground. And the more clean time I have, the more time away from gambling, and now I'm coming up actually on a year alcohol-free too, which wasn't completely intentional, but going with the flow. I want to build a place where there's no children allowed, but no drinking and no gambling either. So it's going to cost me millions and millions of dollars to do this. And I realized that. And I figured I can't make millions and millions of dollars if I'm sitting in the comfort of my corporate job only making 6 figures. I would be 100 years old before I could build my businesses. So I started to make the shift with the podcast. That was the foundation. And then this last year, the podcast class I bought online led to a speaking class that led to a business class. So what I was working on my master's degree, actually, and what I learned is all this online learning was way more impactful and beneficial to me than college was. The actual last class I took working on my MBA was marketing last October. What a big fat waste of money. I learned so much more in the online world, and I guess I would stress that for your audience if they're wondering how to get in. I'm an advocate now for coaches and coaching and paying somebody for learning ahead of me. So that journey has been happening all year. What ended up happening was because I was still at my 9-to-5 job, because I was trying to raise awareness around gambling addiction and figure out how to monetize it, I ended up hiring a team in the Philippines as my virtual assistants. So I hired a lead VA, her name is Anna, and then I hired 5 or 6 other people. So I'd have a website designer and I would have a social media person, and I wanted them to take all the work off my plate. what ended up happening was, from all these online classes I was in, I was surrounded by a bunch of entrepreneurs that were struggling the same way that I was. There wasn't enough time to work the 9 to 5 and get all the things done. And we ended up, my lead VA, Anna, said to me, "Hey, Bobby, do you want to know my dream?" And I said, "Sure, Anna." She goes, "I want to help people in the Philippines get work from home jobs." And I said, "Okay, well, let's do it," because I know a lot of entrepreneurs that need virtual assistance. So that's kind of how my second company was actually born. And the demand was so high, I ended up quitting my job in September. We only launched, it's called Workify. We only launched that in August, and we've been growing steadily with clients, and I get to help entrepreneurs and still get to have my hands in business, which I enjoy, and then have time to talk about raising awareness for gambling. And I think that through time and through coaching and through some of the other things I'm learning about, I'll be able to raise the millions I need, and I'm still going to focus on building my recovery playgrounds.
Well, everything that we do is steps on a ladder, right?
Exactly.
That ladder of success. So it just takes us a little farther down to the end goal. So I'm glad that you know, every journey, you always learn something from it. And I'm sure a lot of audience have questions about even how to hire a virtual assistant, what to delegate, what the questions to ask. Something I've been struggling myself, because it's still your baby and it's hard to let go. But it's the only way to scale. When we learn what to delegate and how to do it, even and don't ask for perfection, but you know, now you got more time for more ideas.
Exactly. And to be working with your clients. And it's hard. You know, you're absolutely right. People don't want to let go of their babies. They're a little nervous about trusting. And one of the things that I learned the hard way was, because I came from a background of managing people and projects and things like that in my day job, I thought everybody knew how to interview and hire and be the boss and do all the things. But that's not true. There's a lot of people that have very powerful messages that need to be out there, but they don't have the skill set to hire. And if they go and they just go online to find a VA like I did originally, and they don't know the right questions to ask, they can spend so much money making mistakes, hiring the wrong person with the wrong skills or the wrong hours, or, you know, like there's so many things. So I feel very grateful that I have an opportunity to kind of help troubleshoot that for a lot of people.
And yeah, you don't know what you don't know. And sometimes figure out what is those questions that you need to ask is part of the journey, but it can be a long journey or it can be a short journey. So looking out for the expertise and others that already done that, it's kind of like taking a shortcut.
Yeah, it's like that lane on the highway. I don't know if you guys have them in Florida, but we have this lane, you know, if you have more than one passenger, you get to go faster and you're in the lane all by yourself. And that's kind of what it's like. You get to go faster. And as someone who, my last boss in my day job was micromanager, and I got so frustrated because I felt like it held us back. It didn't matter if a problem cost us a nickel. I wanted to go work on the $1 million plan or project. So I was able to see what not sharing or not delegating and not focusing on the right workflow, how it could impact us and how it slowed me down. So I try to share that with the entrepreneurs that I'm working with.
So what would you suggest? What would be the fast way or the best way to know what do you need to delegate? Because there's a thousand things on your to-do list, and they're all important. You know, you all constantly juggling balls in the air. So what do you know you need to take it out of your plate? You need the delegated perfect or not. And now you got one less out of the 1,000 ones that you have in there.
I think that's a really good question. And I think if I was to answer it globally, I would say the maintenance items, the things that take the most amount of time, they're important. So social media is a great example, right? We learn that we have to be on Instagram, we have to be on LinkedIn, and we have to be on Facebook, we have to do all the things, but it's really hard to go in and then be disciplined enough to not go down the rabbit hole of social media, right? So there's that piece, but then there's how are we supposed to communicate with potential clients? I know myself, I hate getting those messages in my inbox where, you know, somebody just wants to sell it to you, or they come up with some BS line about how important and special you are. Like, that isn't how I want to be communicated with. But my team does do outreach and stuff for the clients, or the posting, just all those things that take hours and hours every week. I call them, and this isn't an insult, because there's some very skilled things like website design, for example. I tried the first 6 months to build my own website, following the class and thinking I could YouTube the trouble. It didn't work. So outsourcing that was one of the best decisions I ever made. You know, my VAs put together my website for me. They put together my funnels for me. They write copy for me. Now I have to supervise it, right? Like, I have to look and go, okay, because my team is in the Philippines, right? So English is their second language, but very close. But sometimes there's just a little bit lost in translation. Plus, if I'm going to the classes to learn the copywriting, for example, I might have a little different spin, or I want to have the Bobby personality. But reviewing copy takes 5 minutes instead of 5 hours of writing it and trying to do the things.
And that's important, right?
It is. Because
you just manage instead of actively working on it, and now you have more time. You can manage 10 things well when you're actively working on a task. It's going to take you hours.
Exactly. And I've learned now how to communicate, you know, like what the tools are. Like, there's this application called Trello, for example, and it's a project board. So everybody on my team has their own board, and I can write the to-do list, because my head, and I'm sure you probably feel this way too, we have all those things that we're talking about doing are stuck in our head. And then we can't remember what day it is or what's going on. So there's tools to help me download some of that stuff. And then it's a good communication device, especially with the time differences. So that's been kind of fun learning how to get around some of those things.
I hear somebody else mention before, record everything that you do. And now that's operation manual when you have to delegate.
Yeah, you're exactly right. SOPs, we call them, standard operating procedures. And because we're young, I'll be completely honest, because we're young, I haven't put a lot of things in black and white. Like, we're writing them as we go, but we don't know what the best solutions are yet. There's still a lot of trial and error, just because I've never ran an international business virtually with clients from all over the world, you know? So everybody's business is a little different. There's similarities, but we want to make sure that our complete plan is what works best for the masses. So that's still a work in progress.
And so how much would it cost to hire a VA?
Well, this is one of our learnings recently. We had started out with three different packages, like a low, a mid, and a high end. So like, if it was social media stuff, it was low end. And if it was website, it was high. And we actually just merged it together. And all of our maintenance services and all those things are only $11 an hour, which—
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all, because they're skilled and they're trained and they have access to all my tools, all the things that I've bought, all the coaching, all the stuff, plus the skills. Like, these are college educated people in the Philippines. It's just the money conversion that's different. It's not their education or knowledge or skill set that's different. So that's what makes it kind of unique and awesome. And to your point, you download them, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I feel like my time's worth at least $100 an hour. It was worth about that in my day job, and that's going to be my minimum. And I apologize for the sirens. I live in the city for sure. But if I could be out doing an activity such as this, meeting you, networking, getting in front of your audience, right? That's a lot more valuable than me writing social media. So I would pay $11 all day long. Even if I only valued my time at 30, I'm still $18, $19 ahead of the game, right? In that kind of math. So that's how I look at it with the pricing.
So maybe, you know, $11 is not bad at all. You know, you think you buy a couple hours to do a thing. Maybe some of the preparation that you do before hiring a BA, it should be have clear instructions of what you want to do. Don't try to figure out once you hire them, because they're going to be charging for the hour. You know, just have clear instructions what you want to do, and just, you know, be happy with the results so you can be happy with the results. And don't ask for perfection, because nobody's going to read what you have in your mind. That's not going to happen.
Exactly. And well, back to the original point, right? Some people know how to delegate and some people don't. And that's something that we're getting ready to launch, a program where people can actually come to me for the services to help them go through their business, find out where they want to go, what's going on, and what's delegatable and what's not. As opposed to, there might be an entrepreneur that has hired before and has ran a team and knows what to delegate. We get both clients, but we're definitely seeing a lot more that need some clarification, or maybe just a little bit of a push to be like, it's okay to share this, you know, like it is your baby and we'll protect it the same way you will. And that's why it's a nice combination too, because Anna's the face in the Philippines with the VAs and I'm the face in the States with a lot of the entrepreneurs. So it's not like it's just a random person. So it helps with the trust factor, I think.
And I have a question. So in this world where everything now is copyrighted, how that play into it? You know, an international. So what's something that entrepreneurs that they use strong at this world of laws, copyrights, and international laws and all this stuff, how, what the thing that they should be looking at, what some of the things they should expect when they hire a BA, and how to protect themselves, how make sure that it's a fair dealing with everything they do for both parties?
So are you talking about like writing ads, that kind of copywriting?
Yeah, ad writing art, again, you're talking about maybe the website maintenance or doing the blog or something like that. What is the best way that they can do that?
Well, I think that's where the entrepreneur's stamp of approval goes on, so that it comes out in their voice, because everybody has a different voice. If I'm understanding the question right, like my guys put together my website, like we're updating some pages and we're pivoting a little bit and we're doing some stuff. They started with the text and then I go in and I can massage it. Now they might look at another website. I think maybe that's what you're asking. They might get information for a foundation and then we just massage it and personalize it. I guess my college too. I don't believe in plagiarizing or anything like that. I do have some coaches that have shared copywriting and templates and that kind of stuff. So I have access to a lot of those things from who I worked with in the past.
That's good. So it's kind of like a ghostwriting situation.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. I never thought of it that way.
There you go. Okay. So out of all the experience that you have, like, you know, I'm sure that hiring BAs from Philippines, it has a cultural and language barrier. How do you deal with it?
So I haven't come across anyone that hasn't been able to speak English. So if we have an entrepreneur that wants to hire someone where the writing is the most important, or the interaction with their clients is the most important, then we get someone who might be stronger in that case. But as far as communication with the team, I'm able to communicate back and forth with everyone, as the entrepreneurs are as well. When we onboard everyone, we find out what business they're in and what their needs are. If it's a techie person who's never going to write anything, they're just on the webpage, and it's cute because we just interviewed some Kajabi and Kartra experts a few weeks ago, and they'll tell you, I don't want to copyright. Like, I know the tech. I don't want to write. I'll tell you if something needs to be right. They're so honest and beautiful. And we haven't had any issues. Like, even Thanksgiving was last week here, and it was a holiday for me and not for them, but today's a holiday for them and not for me. And we just keep the communication open. And I like to help the entrepreneurs with the planning piece too, so those aren't as many obstacles. I'm sorry, I went a little off the rails there, but it is interesting having the different cultures, but communication hasn't been an issue. And so much of it is through technology too, right? So we don't have to navigate accents as much, or a lot of that kind of goes to the wayside with just the nature of virtual business.
Yeah, when you bring Berto, that's why Berto's here to stay. He opened up the possibilities, right? He make it really global. Now you can be speaking with somebody across the planet.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that's going to power our life and entrepreneurship for a long time.
Yes.
So what are some of the additional nuggets or wisdom that you had to share? What would you recommend entrepreneurs that are starting? They're still trying to figure out everything as it goes and with what feels right, the gut instinct, and they don't know half of the stuff.
Right.
It's
true. So what I'm learning is I did things a lot different than a lot of my classmates. And it's just because I come from the business world and I'm pretty structured. Like, I had my LLC done and my tax number and all that structure stuff. But I've seen the majority of people go in and they worry about their product and what they want to sell and what they want to do first. And I think there's a need for both. What I'm learning, I think you said it before, like, we don't know what we don't know. What I'm learning is by having my foundation and almost like trying to perfect things, I've had to go back and retouch them again. And you have to be okay with that. And you have to be okay with admitting you're wrong or changing the thing. Like, we get ideas that we think are so great in our head, and maybe our spouses tell us it's great, or our family tells us it's great, but maybe they're really not that great, right? So put yourself in a community with people you can trust to give you the feedback. That's another thing I would definitely say. And there's plenty of free options out there, right? But I also, one of the other things is I would say hire a coach or buy an online course, do something so that you're buying someone else's experience and the learning from their mistakes. I think that that's really important. And I'm actually going to throw something else in there too. Make sure you vet who you're working with. That's another thing that's really important. I'm an advocate for coaching, but make sure that you want to interview the coach the way the coach is going to interview you as a client, if you were to go that route as a new person. And there's also Chamber of Commerce's that, and I don't know, your show, I imagine, is international, right? So there's probably different resources in different parts of the world. But here we have Chamber of Commerce's. There's a place called SCORE, I believe. There's a lot of options out there for new people to go do the research. Like I'm working, my therapist is actually getting ready to move into a private practice and she has to go in front of the board for funding and all the things. And she's in a program that helps her along the way with that because you can get in trouble. You brought up the legalities of copywriting and you want to protect yourself. Now in the beginning, we have nothing to lose, right? Like we don't have a big income or those kinds of things that we can lose, but you want to make sure before you have some good revenue coming, that you're protecting your revenue.
But, and there's some things that you might do unknowingly, like, you know, people commission a logo, but you base your whole company and your whole team about that logo. That's not your brand, but it becomes part of your brand. And then a couple of years later down the lane, you didn't bother to get the copyright for that. And now you trademark it, or you trademark somebody else's work, you know? And that's the thing, like, they won't know how to do that, but they should be informed right from the start. You know, try to get as close as the legal aspect as possible. And, you know, and go back and review what you need to. You can always tweak it and yeah, make it yours. And it's still your logo, you know.
You just brought up two very good points. One is, the you know, getting informed about the legality stuff. And I would tell you from experience that you'd probably want a personal attorney, accountant, those kinds of things for those legal things. I've tried a couple of the big name ones, the chains and their stuff, and it's not personal to your business. So it might cost a little more to find a specific lawyer, but you want someone who's invested in you. And then the thing about the branding and the logo, I've done this myself. I get hung up on the logo. Right? Like I have my trademark stuff in process. I had that in process before I had income coming in. That's backwards, right? Like, that's what I mean. Like there was ways I did things different than the way other people did things. And it was taught to me recently that when we're trying to perfect our logo and stuff, maybe it's something different going on. Maybe we're afraid of trying the thing or putting ourselves out there. We're doing the busy work instead of taking the action steps. So I would throw that out there and caution people to kind of just be self-aware enough to know, how important is this? Is this really helping my mission? Is it helping my income? Or am I just stalling because I'm afraid, or whatever the thing is that's holding them back? Because it's real easy to get caught up in, my logo needs this and that. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be the logo. It could be the website. It could be whatever.
Yes. And you, it's like everything. You don't need perfection to start. That's a biggie with a lot of people, that they're so afraid to start. They're so afraid to take the mantle or entrepreneurship, business, or whatever they want to call it. So they struggle with that. Then they start and they get stuck. They get stuck every 5 minutes in the logo. They get stuck on the website. And that's why a lot of them don't make it the first year, or they don't make it the first 5 years. Because it's a continual battle of survival. You have to keep struggling. You have to keep pushing forward your own insecurities and your own fears. You know, and just keep going. Perfect. We don't need to strive for perfection. We can get as close as we want, but we don't need to strive for perfection. You know, we need to, because it doesn't matter how much you plan it, there always something goes wrong and you have to replan, readjust.
Yeah. And you have to not beat yourself up for that. Like there's so many things that are out of our control. You know, a lot of people talk about this year as one of them. You know, maybe it was somebody who wanted a speaking career and they had a pivot from being in live big events, you know, to virtual. But it's okay. Like it's part of the journey, and we're exactly where we're supposed to be, and we're getting given these tools to turn into blessings and learning curves. And even when they cost us, it's probably costing us a lot less than if it happened 5 years from now. So it's kind of the fun of it.
I think it's a question of perspective. What do you want to call it? Do you want to call it an obstacle or a challenge?
Yes. Yes. That's a great
one. You push forward, the other one stops you right on your tracks. So look at everything. Don't look at just the downside. Look up the upside. Oh, the possibilities, the potential. They're unlimited. There's always potential on everything.
Agreed. I love that you feel that way too. That's beautiful. Because that's yes, probably 90% of it, right? Is having our head on right. My philosophy has come to be that all business is a set of problems. If we figure out how to solve the problems, we move on to the next thing, right? So we get to use our creativity. And this is just my own personal mentality to keep me going. It's not a big monster. It's a bunch of little obstacles, challenges, whatever. But it's those little wins that we get or finding the creativity. That's where we get to be our best selves. We get to figure that out. Like, I'm a kind of girl who likes a puzzle. And that's what it feels like. That's what business feels like, is a puzzle. Moving the pieces around, getting them to stick together. I know I'm kind of crazy, but that's how I feel about it.
No, I feel exactly the same. I feel if it weren't easy, I'd be completely bored already. I would move on, go back to a 9-to-5 job. It's easy. I work 9-to-5, solve a couple of problems, get paid. It's easy. But the thing about entrepreneurship is every day is a new day. Every day you have 20 problems to solve. Even if you don't feel like it, you still have to solve it because it depends on you, right? So yeah, it is what you make it. It's about mindset. And that's one of the things that as entrepreneurs, we always have to keep on building. Build that wall around us and learn how to delegate.
see why my business is doing so well? All roads lead to that.
Yes, you have to learn how to delegate. Because that's the only way that you can get to do the 1,000 ideas that you have in your mind. Yeah, otherwise, you all don't want to work on one.
Yeah.
So
it's so easy to get stuck. I was so stuck last year trying to do that website and thinking I could conquer it. And I'll tell you, once I let it go, it came out so much better. You know, you just got to let some things go sometimes.
So I got another question. So what would you recommend to serial entrepreneurs? The people that are not working on one idea, but they're working on like 20 of them.
I would tell them, and I've learned this lesson the hard way, because I really struggled, right? Like, I think it's really important to me to share the message about gambling addiction. It's just really important because I don't think people understand how dangerous it is. And what's starting to happen with the VA business as it's growing and I'm starting to see other people need stuff and resources from me, I need to let go of the gambling and I need to shift my energy into one thing. Otherwise, I'm going to have a bunch of not complete stuff. And I'm using me as a real world example. Just a week ago, a coach was on a Zoom with me and he's like, "You're not listening to me. You need to focus on one thing." And this morning I had a meeting with my social media guy and I'm like, "We need to do one thing. Otherwise we're not doing anything." You know, if I'm successful at one thing, if I'm successful at helping people move in their business, hire a team, all those things, and that's running well because of those standard operating procedures you mentioned, then that becomes okay and I can move on to the next thing. So my advice to the serial entrepreneurs is get laser focused. You probably don't want to hear it any more than I wanted to hear it. And people have been telling me all along, but I thought I knew better. I don't know better. There's people that have paved the way and showed me that I need to focus on one thing. And it's hard to admit that. It's hard. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. But it's like everything. You have to be disciplined. You have to learn how to be disciplined in entrepreneurship. But don't put them away. You know, one of the ways to deal with serial entrepreneurship is write down your ideas. That way they're not going anywhere.
Yes.
I have a book of ideas. Write it down every day.
I have a little trick I'll share with you too. I don't know if you've used this, but on my iPhone, there's voice memos. So I actually record myself having notes. So that way they're all there. I can go back. And then of course, listening to them generates more ideas. But if you're like in the car and you don't have the notebook or whatever, it's just a little trick out there that it works for me, just in case it works for any of your audience.
Yeah, that could work. And it'd probably be faster than writing it down. Because we think faster than what we write. So how our listeners will find you, how they will find your agency, how they will know more about you?
Well, I gave you the humble version of my speech. So one of the things I'm trying to help both gamblers and entrepreneurs with is, you know, mindset and feeling confident. So if you look up Bobby the Awesome, that is how you find me on Instagram.
That's a good name.
Yeah. And part of why we're redoing the website is because of having the gambling and the VA. So we're changing that to Bobby the Awesome as well for the website. So we should be able to find it there. Workify Global I love it. Anna came up with the name. It's work and then capital EFY for work, especially for you, global. I thought that was very witty of her. I love it. But Workify Global, we're on Instagram and the web would connect you. It's all kind of connected together. So that's how people can find me. Oh,
that's awesome.
My new podcast. I'm launching a new podcast in January and it's going to be called The Recovery Entrepreneur.
So that's about people that are already done with entrepreneurship or they just starting again?
What it's going to be, I'm going to highlight a different entrepreneur every week so that I can showcase their journeys and we can talk about the kind of stuff that you and I are talking about. What do they know? What did they learn the hard way? But also give them some exposure. It's really important, you know, to get everybody's names out there and help our community, right? We're all one big community trying to figure this out. But the recovery part is I'm in recovery. I learned a lot of things from rehab, from 12 steps, from my recovery work. And what I'm realizing in my 9-to-5 business, they wanted me to be a certain way. They wanted me to not show emotion. They wanted me to play by the rules. They wanted me to dress for this one and that one. And that's not who I am. So I am a person in recovery who is working on it every single day. And if I want to cry, I'll cry. And if I want to be mad, I'll be mad. If I want to do whatever I want to do. So really the recovery part is it's very important to me. It's part of my journey and it's part of who I am and how I show up in the world. And I just want people to know it's okay.
So that's being real.
Yeah.
Being real. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm going to be it. I'm definitely going to be listening to it.
You're definitely going to be on it.
Looking forward to it.
Sounds
okay.
Good.
Any final words that you want to share?
I just think you're doing a beautiful thing here. And I appreciate you letting me, you know, voice my opinion on a lot of these topics. I was, you know, I'm 46. And just started getting brave about this entrepreneurial stuff. And I just hope that if you're thinking about it out there, that you know, you take the chance, you do the homework, you do the chance, you know, take the chance. You could be successful with the right tools and you don't have to wait till you're having a midlife crisis like me.
Well, I always say that, you know, the founder of KFC started and got successful at 81, everybody can do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Yes.
Never too late.
It'd
be late if you are 81 and then you really regretting that you never took the chance.
Yes, that's more the bigger point, is don't let fear hold you back. If you have a message to share with the world or a gift to share the world, and that's usually what motivates the people I know as entrepreneurs, is they want to help other people. They want to serve people. And if you have that, you're actually, if you're too afraid to go out and do that, you're actually robbing other people of what you have to give in the world.
Yeah. And sometimes that make you bitter. And then you reflect that in other people that are going for the dream.
That's true.
You know, so it's not good, period. It's not good for you. It's not good for anybody else that surrounds you. Because even your kids are looking at you and you're living half a life because you didn't try.
Exactly. Smart cookie. Well, love it.
Thank you. So it was great having you. Looking forward to have you again in another interview and being on your show.
Yes.
So I appreciate you being here and fun to say.
I appreciate you too. Thanks for having me.
Stop.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of Founders Time Podcast. Remember, subscribe to our newsletter at founderstime.com for more tips and tricks on how to make your podcast great. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.